for that wonderful song and that line that God has never lost a battle. That is my entire sermon. It is completely summed up in that one song. So I suppose that we could be at a place right now so I could just let all of you go after we offer the prayers and you wouldn't have to hear the sermon. I'll also tell you that I'm a preacher that's has missed a week on vacation, and there's not a chance that I'm going to let that happen. So you are going to hear the sermon. You will hear. Well, I guess you could decide on your own, but anyway, I'm going to preach, and I will be quiet because I'm about to dig a big old hole for myself right now. But I'm glad that y'all are here this morning, and thanks be to God that those battles that so much that seem like they have been lost, that God doesn't lose those battles for us. And so as we turn our thoughts and as we turn our attention toward God in prayer, I would like to ask you, are there some people we need to lift up, maybe some prayer concerns that you have? Maybe there are some moments when you've seen God really break through and not lose that battle. If you'd like to share that, you can just speak those out loud. You can just share those out loud. Yeah, thanks, Terry.
Thank you for the church and all the prayers. I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Don. And we're so glad that you're here this morning. And it is such a testimony to your own life and what you have what you and God have done together through the healing that's happened. And so we celebrate with you, Don. And we are delighted that you're here too. Yeah, and let's remember Vicki Hall. Her mother recently just passed away, and just lift up prayers for her and her entire family. That is someone that we're missing this morning in our sanctuary with us. Yeah, please do. Remember the Nealon family, a gospel group that were flying on a helicopter, weren't they, and lost their lives, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jill. That is wonderful. A successful surgery for Danny. Yeah, let's remember Teresa, Randy's sister, who has been sick. If there are no others, let's bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, what a comfort and what a privilege it is to come to you and to come to you in prayer. Lord, we do come this morning, and we come with the faith and we come with the hope, Lord, of knowing that not only do you hear the prayers that we lift up before you, but we know that you answer those prayers. Oftentimes, Lord, you move in ways that are far more mysterious than any of us can comprehend. And for the ways that you heal, the ways that you bring hope, and the ways that you comfort and offer mercy, Lord, we praise that as well. And we ask you, O God, to hear these requests that have been lifted up. Especially pray and ask that you'll be with families who mourn. Lord, be with us as a church and as a congregation as we mourn. Just pray and ask, Lord, that you will hold us in your strength, and that you will hold us, Lord, in your comfort. Lord, we pray and ask that you will let us feel the peace of Christ, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and a peace that is unlike anything that the world may offer to us. We do lift up to you, O God, the hope that comes in resurrection, the hope that comes, Lord, in knowing that our lives on this earth do not end on this earth, but that the lives that we began with your Son, Jesus Christ, is a life that we continue through eternity. We just praise your holy name for that. And we also praise you, O God, for healing happens in our own bodies. For those times, Lord, when it seems like the battle has been lost, and those times that you offer, well, the kind of healing that only you can. We do celebrate the testimonies of surgeries that go well, of long illnesses that improve, and also, Lord, healing that happens instantaneously and just in a moment. And as you hear us, Lord, we know that you also hear those expressions that we're oftentimes unable to put into words. You hear us in moans and sorrows that are so deep, Lord, that we can't express them. And yet, as your holy scriptures remind us, you hear those. And so we ask you, O God, to hear us in these moments of silence as we lift up those unspoken prayer requests before you. And, O Lord, we thank you. We thank you that even in the stillness and even in the silence, that when we bring ourselves to those moments, we thank you that you still hear us, that you still intercede in our hearts and in our souls. And Lord, that you meet us at those very places that, well, we're not able to express in any other way but just in your presence. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have brought to us in this space. And pray, Lord, that as we continue to lift up your name, continue to worship you, we ask that you will just draw us closer and closer into your being. And as we do, Lord, we ask you to hear us, each and every one. So we pray the prayer that you first taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I would like to invite you into the New Testament, into the Gospel according to St. Mark. Mark chapter 9 is where we're going to begin. The 14th verse, where we'll begin and continue through verse 29. This is the story that I was sharing with the children this morning. This is where it comes from. But Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 14, I'm going to be reading from a translation. It's a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It is the updated edition of that translation. And this is, we are jumping right into the middle of the story. Jesus has just invited Peter, James, and John on top of a mountain. They are coming down from the mountain to rejoin the rest of the disciples that are at the bottom of the mountain. So this is what we're coming into. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd that was around them and some scribes that were arguing with them. And when the whole crowd saw him, Jesus, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they came forward to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd, they answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so. And he answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "It's been happening from childhood. It's often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And crying out and convulsing terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse. So most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he was able to stand. And when he had entered the house, his disciples, they asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind can come only through prayer." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. And we pray and ask that as our hearts and our souls, as our very spirits come together, Lord, that you may speak into our lives. We thank you, O God, for these words and ask that they will become living words. And I pray and ask, Lord, in thanksgiving, I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I ask, Lord, that in the words that I share this morning, that they will be pleasing to you and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And I do want to say that it is really good to be back. I'm glad that that my family and I, that we were able to travel. We went out to the beach. We spent a week at the beach. I want to thank Reverend Tim Alexander, who was here in this spot and who was preaching for me. I want to thank Reverend Robert Mount, who led Wednesday night, and thank all of you. We did. We had a really good time at the beach, but as always, it is it's good to be back, particularly good to be back this morning. I will tell you, and maybe you captured this a little bit from what I was sharing with our children, cards all on the table this morning. This is one of my favorite stories in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 9. This story of, this place where Jesus comes into the middle of an argument of people that he has been living his life with for a little while now, and comes in. I just love the way that Mark captures this whole story that happens with coming down the mountain and immediately caught in the midst of an argument. We know what it's like. We all know what it feels like, that it feels like we even have that expression that we use, that it feels like we're on top of the world, only to be met with those sorrowful places that we can meet in the very bottom of the valley. We just over and over talk about that. There was a really interesting article that I came across a few weeks before vacation. It was in the paper as an article about beaches. That's where I was thinking already about traveling down to the beach. But one of the interesting things about this is that the headline of the article, and that's what really got my attention. It says the beaches that we're accustomed to, the beaches that we're used to, that in the future they're no longer going to be. And so then I looked at it and I said, well, that's kind of interesting. And so I started reading the article, and one of the things that was kind of fascinating about it is that some of the work, some of the beaches and coastal communities are constantly having to do work to maintain their coastlines. I mean, this has been happening for years and for decades. And one of the things that the article mentioned is that all this work that is gets connected with dune protection or protecting sand dunes, as well as all this work that happens for erosion around coastlines, that beaches, that the projects and the massive projects that they undertake to do this, those decade-long projects, which the projects that were supposed to last for a whole decade, that there are times now when they're getting wiped out in a single year. And there's one place that they cited in particular that said that in one year that one area had spent $26 million on a project that was supposed to be one of those decade-long projects of protection, and then a storm comes in, and then in one year it is wiped out, it's wiped away. This idea of what does it mean to protect coastal areas, what does it mean to protect shorelines, that, you know, that some really big decisions are having to be made now, and about how do we think about this? How do we prepare? How do we plan for the future? And it's just this kind of interesting article that carried with me as I was coming into this story of Mark. Jesus and the disciples are not taking a vacation or stepping away as they come down from the top of the mountain, but what they are doing is they're discovering something and experiencing something that's even better than time away gives and offers to any of us. Because what happens at the very beginning of Mark chapter 9 is this extraordinary experience that the disciples, a few of them, and Jesus experience. It's one that's so monumental. Now, as the very beginning, now we're jumping into the middle of Mark chapter 9, but at the very beginning of Mark chapter 9, this moment when Jesus and Peter and James and John are on top of the mountain, there was an entire theological category that is dedicated to this one event. In fact, there are celebrations in both liturgical celebrations that happen in both Protestant churches as well as Roman Catholic churches that celebrate this one event that happens on top of the mountain. You could, in fact, if you were so inclined, you could secure an entire PhD on an aspect, just not even the whole experience, but just an aspect of this experience of Jesus and the disciples. It could be in biblical studies, religious studies, even theology gets into the mix. But in Mark chapter 9, what happens with Jesus and Peter and James and John on top of the mountain is called the Transfiguration. And that is an event, again, it's celebrated in United Methodist churches, celebrated in Protestant churches, Roman Catholic churches, and it's this place of Mark 9:2 that says, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him, led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone, and there Jesus was transfigured before them. Now, when Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John on a mountain, as immersive an experience as this is, as he is surrounded in clouds, and the voice of God speaks audibly as Jesus is transfigured or transformed and appears in the glory of God, as much of an immersive experience of this as it is, as they begin to walk down to the bottom of the mountain, everything changes in an instant. As Jesus encounters the rest of the disciples arguing with a crowd that has been gathered, and the argument is over God's healing. And in fact, quite personally, it is a father who has come to the disciples wanting to see Jesus, who has a child that is sick and has asked and has sought for healing, and it's a healing that is not available to this father. In fact, in the words that Mark captures, the father, along with the now growing crowd, says, I brought my son hoping that your disciples would be able to do something, but they couldn't. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to someone who was blindsided by something that had happened in a church. And not only was it this one person that was kind of blindsided and overwhelmed by a decision that had been made that they had no understanding about, no idea that it was coming down the path, but there were others that were caught up in this. So there were others that were caught up in this. And it seemed to be this kind of clear path toward the church, and it suddenly ended with no new start on the horizon. It's one of those things that when someone tells me that, I always take it personally because of the work that we do together in churches, the work that and the ministries that we come together to do in churches like this. But all of us know this. All of us know this experience. We all know what it's like. People of faith, even people without faith, we know what it means to have these experiences where we're sort of blindsided by an event. People who believe, people who don't believe, know what it's like to be blindsided in these moments like this. We know what it's like to be told something and promised something and then have it suddenly vanish in front of our eyes, even when we have no control over it whatsoever. But even more than that, what do we know about when we are desperate and we want God to act? Because this is really what Mark chapter 9 is about. What does it mean when we are desperate to want God to sort of break in and to offer healing, to cover us in God's glory, that same kind of glory that begins in Mark chapter 9, that same kind of glory that Jesus was transfigured and transformed by on top of the mountain? What does it feel like when we want that here? And now, and not just on top of the mountain. And I mean, we probably have moments, well, even like this father from today's story, where we know what it feels like when we cry and we hope against hope and come before Jesus and say, oh, yes, I believe this. I believe every word about it. But now, God, I'm going to need you to help me with all of these pieces that don't seem to fit together anymore, with all of these pieces that don't seem to come together anymore, I want you, God, to help me in my unbelief. And you see, one of the interesting things about this is that when you're a father with a son, and when you are someone that is coming before God on behalf of someone whose suffering is so intense, and someone whose suffering has been happening for so long, belief is not just an idea. Belief is not just a theological category. Belief is not just a particular Bible verse. It's more than all of that. If you notice, we have been lately enthralled in our world by our reactions in the church. Our own United Methodist Church, with disaffiliations, the kind of infighting that comes out of all those disaffiliations. You know, we're not spared from that. Southern Baptists over this past summer who wrestled with gender and equity and pastoral leadership, they have not been spared either. But what about this? What about in the midst of reactions, in the midst of things that seem to spin and swirl out of control? What about this really simple idea of belief? What about belief? What about the belief that our church has? What about the belief that we hold together as followers of Jesus Christ ourselves? I mean, just think, as quickly as we can get caught up in reactions to hot button issues around us, what do we say about what we believe? What do we say about God's power to heal? What do we say when the person who is crying and holding desperately to their child who says, I believe, help my unbelief? What about those who find themselves in a space like this in our church, here at Grace Point, who come to those disciples who God has called us to be here, and they're seeking to follow the way of Jesus, and suddenly they find that it's only reactions and no way to help them find a connection with God? Notice where Jesus meets this Father. I mean, if we're able to do this, if we're able to sort of suspend the crowd that has formed, the scribes that are taking that place of religious authority, if we take away the disciples, what about Jesus and this Father who is here? Jesus who meets this Father at the very crux of his own unbelief. You notice as Jesus encounters him, there's no reaction. There's no arguing like the disciples. Jesus does look over all of them that are gathered. Jesus does say, this faithless generation, he does offer those words, but notice with the Father. It's not a reaction or arguing like the disciples know who is right and who is wrong. With Jesus, there's a connection to the power of God. And this is what I love about the way that Mark captures this story, is it's quite a simple story of Jesus coming down the mountain. And in my crude way of retelling this story, you see, even Elijah was able to capture it immediately. But it's a simple act of the disciples overlooking something that is so critical. It's a vital part of their own lives and also their own connection with God. Because it's not only the man who is with the child standing in need of assurance of God's presence in the midst of unbelief. And in fact, unbelief that is quickly resolved by a word that is spoken by Jesus over the man's son. But it's not only his unbelief, it's not only this man, this father who's brought his child, it's not only his unbelief, but it's the disciples. It's the disciples who have missed something that is critical in their own lives as disciples, in their own, well, this is what we may hear described even outside of the church, something critical that they've missed in their own spiritual journeys, their own spiritual lives. They've forgotten to pray, as our children did remind us this morning. And they ask Jesus, they say, why? In the midst of everything that was happening around us, in the midst of the crowd that was gathering, in the midst of the scribes, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Why could we not heal this child? It's probably something all of us experience too. Probably those moments that many of us face in our own lives, we ask God, why, God? And this is what Mark makes crystal clear. It's all in what we believe. Now, that's not groundbreaking news. I mean, even motivational speakers, even life coaches will remind us, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe positive thinking. This is a whole branch of science that is built on positive thinking, positive emotional experiences that happen in our lives that say, it's all in what you believe, But for us, there's something else that's happening here. There's something else that's going on here, that for Jesus, belief is believing in the power of God. It's believing in where God can heal. It's believing in when God will heal. And it's also believing in who can be immersed in this glory of God that begins all the way back on top of the mountain in Mark chapter 9. You see, when Jesus says this kind can come only through prayers, Jesus says to the disciples, Jesus is reminding them that there is a critical connection to the power of God that can move in all of our world, whether we are on top of a mountain or whether we are in the bottom of a valley. And the invitation that we have been given by God, the invitation that the disciples have been invited to live into, and in fact, the invitation that, well, we remind each other of each week as we gather together, is that our connection to the power of God comes through prayer. In fact, we discover more that in this really simple story, that in pain and the trauma of a sick child, we find that's when unbelief quickly is brought to the surface. And when we begin to feel like we're by ourselves, when we begin to feel like we're left all alone at the bottom of the mountain, it's easy to overlook our most critical connection with God that comes through prayer. You see, what Jesus does, and I think what Mark in this chapter does a masterful job of showing, is that Jesus emerges above the crowd, above the rush that we see experienced by the disciples in their rush to just get in there and quickly do something. That Jesus rises above the reactions of the crowd. The man, and even he rises above the Father. Jesus rises above the disciples. Because what Jesus does is he brings a lifeless child's body that is slain on the ground. Mark, who is such a vivid storyteller, says that Mark 9:26, and this is what the New Revised Standard Version captures, that the boy's body was like a corpse. Even if you're not much into alliteration or images, that is pretty powerful. And this is the moment that Jesus says, this is the kind that can come only through prayer. And that's the opportunity that all of us have in this moment, is that sometimes the only way forward, at all times, I will say, that at all times the only way past knee-jerk reflexive reactions and responses is certainly through prayer. And as Jesus reminds us, is that all of us have an opportunity to connect to the power of God. And that opportunity comes only through prayer. Let's bow our heads. What a life you have invited us into, God. In the midst of pain, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of sorrow, and in fact, in the midst of death, Lord, you have reminded us that there is truly power that comes through prayer. Lord, forgive us for those times. Forgive us for those times when all of us have forgotten to pray. Forgive us of our own reactions, our own knee-jerk responses. Forgive us of our times, Lord, when we have sought to just do something and we have missed the power of God that comes through the connection of prayer. Lord, we do testify that you, O God, have never lost a battle. And Lord, we ask you to equip us as disciples, so that we will not lose the battles of our own lives, lose the battles of our own souls and our own spirits, and equip us, Lord, so that we may pray, and so that we may pray more, and so that when we forget to pray, that we may return to you and pray again. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray together. Amen.
Would you please stand with us and sing?
Jesus, all of my trials, I cannot bear. of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help. Jesus alone.